Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Good morning, everybody. So good to be here with family, with friends. And before I get started, I have a special shirt on this morning. This is a St. Aquinas Spartan basketball shirt, and I have the privilege of serving this basketball team, and along the way, these men and their coaching staff and I have become good friends. What I love about this team is they're a team that's excellent. They're a team that I really believe they have something great that they're going to do. And so my friends are here this morning, so I just would like you guys to stand up. We just want to welcome you. Everybody stand up. It's okay. Don't be ashamed. Stand to your feet. Thank you guys for coming. St. Aquinas basketball team is here with us this morning. Thank you guys for making the trek all the way here from Sparkill, New York. And we're going to get right into the word. Pastor Ron, the senior pastor of this church, is out. He's preaching today in another church, but he'll be here next week bringing the message. And I'm just here to fill in and be here with you guys. So we're in a series called In the Book of Luke. And what we're going to do, we're going to go through Luke, the book of Luke, all the way until Easter. And that's a long time to be in one book, right? But yet we were able to get in there, craft it out. This wise man down front, Nathan, and also Pastor Adam Burt, who's out there in New Jersey, these guys broke it up. So we're going to be able to do this. And so basically what it is, Luke being a physician, a doctor, him being someone like you and I, just a normal everyday man or an everyday woman, if you will. And what he is that Luke had such a mind that he had to investigate, because I mean, you know, there's a lot of skepticism out there. There's a lot of people out there preaching false doctrine, Jesus this, Jesus that, I'm spiritual but not religious, all this kind of hocus pocus going on out there. But what I love about Luke wanted the truth. How many want the truth? Amen. But the question is, when you find it, can you handle it? Amen. And so he went after the truth. He went to the point where he even went and investigated and began to interview Jesus's mother. Because he wanted to make sure that he got the story. He got it from the horse's mouth, if you will. And not only did he do that, but then he said, you know what, not only do I want to do this, but Luke, being a doctor, a normal 9-to-5 man, began to take what he learned and use that to reach others. How many know that we are made for something great on this earth? That we're not just lucky mud, that we're not just here to kind of go through the motion, just hang on and just wait till Jesus returns. No, God has a plan and a purpose for your and I's life. And he wants to use this to do something great. And here's the doctor that chose to take the truth and spread it and be used by God to go do great things. We opened up talking about Jesus and about John the Baptist, because there had been 400 years of just silence. There was nothing going on. And all of a sudden, this man shows up on the scene by the name of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist begins to preach, and he begins to tell people about Jesus and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And this man was very confrontational. But yet he understood that, man, he's just preparing the way for Jesus to come. You learned a little bit during that time about the baptism of Jesus and then the importance of fulfilling all scripture, and that Jesus fits biblically. Jesus fits philosophically. Jesus also fits religiously, and this baptism was so important because as he did that, he fulfilled all righteousness. And later we began to understand about the testing in the wilderness, because just because you have something, God is going to make sure and put you in a position to make sure that you understand who he is for your life. And so Jesus out there in the wilderness being tempted in every way that a man or a woman can be tempted, but yet didn't fail. Was able to confront and deal with the enemy, Satan, right there on his home turf, there in the wilderness, and was able to get out and come out. But today, as you read, Pastor Ron spoke about last week, about a little bit about the mission. We're going to talk about the mission, because Jesus didn't go through all that stuff for nothing. He came out of that wilderness, and it says, with the Spirit of God and power upon him. And with this power, he had a mission. And so I just want to pray and get right into it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you this morning. God, open our hearts and open our minds to be able to get deep into your word. Speak to us, Lord, clearly. No distractions as we push pause just for these brief moments. In Jesus' name, amen. A mission. You know, I remember playing pro sports. And I remember being drugged to a meeting like this, and I heard somebody preaching similar message about mission, about purpose, and about taking whatever it is God is giving you and using you for out there in the world to do something great. And so at the time, being in an NFL locker room, it wasn't too great, the things that were going on, things that were being said and done. And I'd given my life to Jesus. I was a Christ follower, if you will. And they said, you know what, we're going to train you and equip you to be able to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ to your teammates. And I'm like, man, wait, you don't understand. These people are crazy. Millionaires, they're not going to want to hear the gospel. And you know what? They did. And so I began to take one at a time, my teammates, sharing the good news. And they were so excited that somebody had the courage just to open up their mouth and tell them that Jesus had died for them and that Jesus loved them and that Jesus wanted to use them for something great. And one by one, I began to bring my teammates to church and watching their lives get changed. Not only did it stop there, but they would take us as athletes because all that was a platform to do something good or bad. And so this mission, they said, we're going to put you on a mission to reach young people. So we would go into high schools. How many know you can get into a high school and speak as an athlete before you can as a minister? They're not going to let you in because of that. So I'm going in overt. You know, I'm just coming in undercover. And they're looking at me, oh, this guy's going to talk about stats. He's going to talk about how much money he's got, how many girlfriends he has. We can't wait to hear this. And you know what? I got up there and I began to tell them about the Lord and tell them about how much God cares about them and that they don't have to live a lifestyle that's contrary to what the world is saying. And you know what? One by one, kids begin to stand up and say, man, I want what you have because I've been cutting myself. I've been having suicidal thoughts and I need a miracle for my life to be changed. So then we'd also go on the college campus as athletes. And we wouldn't talk about our money, but we had a mission to reach the next generation because if you change the next generation, you'll change the world. And out of that, I said I just transitioned right into full-time ministry and began to go and continue the mission that I'm doing today. The definition of mission, this is it according to Oxford Dictionary. It says this, an important assignment given to a person or people typically involving travel abroad. But think about this, an assignment given to a person, an assignment given to a particular person to travel abroad. When you get a mission, it's not about standing still. It's about going out and doing something. And so here's Jesus's mission. I can imagine how it was with the Father looking down on his creation. See, God loves his creation, and the creation was separated at the time, and I want my people back. And he's having this conversation with his son. I love the people, but I need to get them back, and I don't have a way. I need you to go down there and do something for them. Jesus raising his hand, Father, yes, I'll go. What is my assignment? I'll be your guy. And the word of God says this. This was Jesus's mission. Jesus's mission in 1 John 3:8 was this. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. See, Jesus wasn't coming down to earth to play patty cake with people. He was coming to redeem creation, to redeem man, to snatch them out of darkness and to bring them into the marvelous light of God. And so he had to go to work. He had to go to work. See, the enemy does this. He doesn't play fair. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his business. And so he'll steal your destiny, steal your identity, steal your purpose. He'll destroy you. Why? Because he wants to get you off the face of the earth as quick as possible. Because if you tap into the power and the vision of God for your life, you'll change the world. You'll change the world. And he's afraid of that. No. Keep them out of church. Keep them away from the podcast. Keep them away from the things of God, because if they get a hold of it, they'll change the world. See, I thought I was just an athlete, but no. God said, I'm calling you to do something great. I've traveled the world. I've preached the gospel. I see people's lives change. And when I encounter people and they hear this good news, they go and do greater things in their spheres of influence. Jesus had a mission. And here's where the mission begins. In Luke 4:14, this is Jesus going back to his hometown. And he's getting ready to go into the synagogue and begin to read this scripture verse of Isaiah. It says this in Luke 4:14. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogue and everyone praised him. Verse 16, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, hometown. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue and was custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found this place where it is written. Verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Verse 20, then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes were on him in the synagogue, fastened on him. And he began by saying to this, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today. Basically, what Jesus was saying is this: what you just read is me. And you know what? People looked at him and said, "You must be crazy." Because they didn't understand that the Messiah was in front of them now. That the Holy One of God, that all the prophets had spoken about over the years, was sitting right there in front of them. See, they were tracking with them at first because they understood that they were oppressed. Yes, the Roman oppression is here. They understood that they were poor because all the tax and the things that the Roman people were doing to them, trying to get rid of them. But when he began to talk about the other side, the Gentiles, you and I, the gospel is for those people, that's where they got mad. You know why? Because anybody who went outside of the covenant was considered a traitor. But if you know anything about Jesus, Jesus doesn't care. Because Jesus died for all creation, and he wants to redeem his people. Jesus had two things. He had a teaching and healing ministry. A teaching and healing ministry. Why was it so significant? Because in that time, in Jewish culture, it was custom for them to memorize the five books of the Bible. They memorized from Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy, and they thought they were something because they did that. Now, that's pretty smart. But the beauty about Jesus was Jesus taught with one with authority. He didn't teach just as one that knew the Bible. He taught as one that wrote the Bible. And see, when he was speaking on behalf of those that had gone before him. He was speaking on behalf of those that when he said, "I am that I am," that was Jesus speaking. He's speaking when he was saying, "I am Jehovah Jireh." That's Jesus speaking. He's had power and authority. So when he taught, it shook people to the core. See, he didn't even walk it like he talked it. But he did it with signs and wonders to the point where sick and tormented demons, people were possessed, were cast out. But you know what? The one thing that will shut down a miracle, the one thing that will shut down anything significant from happening in a room like this is doubt and unbelief. And you know what? They doubted him. To the point that they wanted to kill him. They picked him up. They got him up and pushed him outside of the synagogue and began to walk him towards a cliff. And they were getting ready to kill Jesus. And you know what? Jesus said, "I ain't going out like that." To the point where he just walked through the crowd and it parted like the Red Sea. And they said that was the only miracle that the people got to see there in Nazareth. You ever try to go home and try to share your faith to your family? I'm going to meddle today. You ever go home and try to share your faith with your family, with people that knew you when, and all of a sudden you begin to get up there and you begin to tell them about the love of Jesus and how if you don't change your life, something negative could happen to you, and all of a sudden they fold their arms and they look at you like you're crazy. And they say, wait, I used to change your diapers. Wait, I knew you back when. I knew you used to smoke with me. You used to drink with me. You used to club with me. You did all this. Now you want to come tell me about Jesus? That was the spirit in the house right there. But Jesus was unfazed because of who he was and what he did. He had a mission. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 4:20. "For the kingdom of God is just not a bunch of talk, but it's living by God's power." See, the reason Jesus was able to do what he was doing is because of what he did in the wilderness. See, if you can't take care of business in your wilderness, you'll never have the power to do what you need to do in your future. You have to take care of business in the wilderness, in the private times, when no one's looking, When it's just you and the enemy, and he's trying to flex on you, he's trying to beat you down, but you choose to stand on the promises of God. And see, the thing about the enemy was he's crafty because he knew the word, but he didn't know that Jesus wrote the word. So now when he's speaking to Jesus, Jesus is like, no, that's not the interpretation of that scripture. Let me take you to another level. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You have to be able on mission. My first point I want to make is you have to have an open mind. You have to have an open mind. And the reason I say this is because their mind was closed. The reason they couldn't receive from Jesus was because of this. They thought that the Messiah was going to come and take them out of Rome. They had a vision of him riding in on a white horse with a sword, with a warrior ready to come in and just wipe out the Roman soldiers, wipe out this government, and put them back in their proper place. They didn't see him come in like them. When you're on mission, you have to have an open mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, God says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and my ways aren't your ways. As high as the heavens are the earth, and below are my thoughts than your thoughts. But this is the key. He says that my word will not return back to me void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. What is the prophet saying? What is God saying through the man of God? He's saying this: keep an open mind. Just because I say something's going to happen to you, don't get it fixed that it's going to go down a certain way. You have to be able to understand when you're on mission, crazy stuff will happen. Things will happen unorthodox. And the funny thing is, when I was told that I'm going to be sent out, that God was going to release me to go somewhere great, he's going to fling me somewhere, I had no idea I was going to be sent the way I was sent. I had no idea that it was going to go down the way it was going to go down. But you know what? I'm here, and I see now why God had to send me the way he sent me. Because when I landed in the northern New Jersey, in this greater New York area, all of a sudden lives began to get changed. But I had to keep an open mind. I didn't close my mind. I kept it open. You have to have an open mind when you're on mission. The people were missing the blessing. You can miss the blessing. The blessing could be right in front of you. The miracle can be right in front of you. But because you think it's supposed to happen one way, God is saying, no, it's going to go down another way. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, 18 and 19, it says, many are the plans of man, but the purposes of God will prevail. You can plan all day. But when God gets in your business and he begins to move some stuff around, don't get nervous. Lord, your will be done, not my will. Your ways, not my ways. Because whatever God does for you, nobody can undo. And whatever God gives you, nobody can take away. So just throw your hands up and say, Lord Jesus, have your way. Have your way. Whatever you want to do, bless. Bless however you want to bless. If God wants to give you something great, take it. Don't run from it and don't shut yourself off, but have that open mind. Have an open mind. You know, the amazing thing is when we're on mission, Jesus is always modeling mission. I love watching how Jesus did things. It said that he would go and he would pray and he would lay hands on the sick. Do you know that we can do the same thing that Jesus does?
Amen.
See, if the Spirit of God is in you and in me, he said in Mark 16, 15 through 20, that you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
And the thing about Jesus is this. See, God heals, I pray. God heals, I pray. So I got to put myself in that mission mindset. God, use me. Place me where you want. It doesn't matter if they're sick. I've seen ACLs healed. I've seen people that were shoulders messed up. I've seen all kind of things because I chose to step out and allow God to do what only he can do. Mission. Never be afraid to allow God to open up your mind and do something great. Do something great. My next point is this, is that you have to always be willing to include others. You have to include others. And the reason I say this is because no man, no woman can do it alone. That's what I love about this basketball team that's here this morning. I watch how they work together, how they ebb and flow off of each other. Now, it's not always good. How many know you can get around some people that can just rub you the wrong way? Yeah, you got a friend like that, right? That just, man, come on, man. You know, not today. You got that girlfriend that's just always, you know, in your ear, and you just, girl, you know, oh, not today. But you know what the beauty of it is? God put him or her there to call you to the next level. He put him or her there to keep you from getting comfortable and get complacent. You ever get around somebody that's better than you in prayer, better than you in worship, better than you in the giving, better than you in other things, and all of a sudden they talk about the blessing of God and how God's using them, and all of a sudden you get all, why are you talking about that? You sound conceited. No. What God is doing is he's saying this. He's calling you up. He's calling you up. Don't stay the same. Don't get comfortable. Don't get complacent. Man, I'm going to send somebody that doesn't look like you. Oh, yeah, I'm going to meddle just a little bit this morning. He's going to send somebody that doesn't look like you. Somebody from another ethnicity that you were taught not to trust, that you were taught not to hang out with, that you heard this, that, and the other about their culture. He's going to send that man or woman of God to you to call you to the next level. And see, that's what God would do with me. He'd bring people that I heard stories about. You can't trust them. They're going to do this to you. You know, no. Those same men, those same women were the same ones that called me to the next level. That would help me get in a position to go do greater things than I could do on my own. And the reason why God loves to use people, he includes others, is because the same way he died for you, he died for them. And the Bible says this, that he wants all to come to repentance. The Bible says this in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but is this, instead he's patient with you and with me, not wanting anyone to perish, but to everyone to come to repentance. He's patient. See, the beauty of Jesus is Jesus wasn't in a rush. Jesus would walk from town to town, village to village, and minister. He was patient. When everybody was saying, you know what, destroy that woman, get rid of that man, why are you touching him? Look at her. No, Jesus said, no, you know why? Because my Father in heaven created them, and I've been sent to this earth to redeem them. So when you're walking around the city of New York, I just started a small connect group on Park Ave, and I'm walking through, and it's crazy. These financial people, any financial people in here? Y'all crazy. The intensity in that office to make a dollar. The ruthlessness in that office to make a dollar. I'm sitting there just like, is this real? This is not a movie. But you know what? I told my friends that we all went in there to start this connect group with. I said, God brought you and I here that we may win some. This is our mission, that we might win some. Because who knows what man or woman in here is going to go out and change the world. Who knows that's going to come up with a financial idea that blesses not just this nation, but other nations. Mission. Do you have a mission this morning? Do you have the ability to allow God to step into your life and to do something great for you? The reason I chose, and I say chose, I didn't have to go and minister to this basketball team. I didn't have to. But when I walked into the room and I began to speak to their coach, and I saw the love that their coach had for them, and their coach is plural, and I heard what these men are about, I chose. It's a 50-minute drive for me to go, and it's time off my schedule away from my children. But once again, I'm on mission. It's so that some of these men and some of these women that are part of this program in this college, because if they can make it, they're going to go change the world. Mission. Mission. Are you on mission today? Are you on mission today? Are you willing to say yes to the Lord? And I missed the point, and I'm going to go back to it. My first point, I missed number one. I just skipped one. I just jumped right in the Bible and missed one. We got to practice what we preach. We got to practice what we preach, because you can't go around and tell somebody what to do if you're not willing to do it. It's not happening. I got 3 kids that watch everything that their daddy does. And you know what? Those are the closest people that are to you outside of your spouse. And they're little tape recorders. And you know what they'll say? Daddy, you said. You remember that time? Oh, gosh. You know what? I had to apologize to my son this morning because I got, a little out of the spirit before I came to preach. You know how that worked? wasn't a man of God on the way here, but I got back in the spirit when I got here. And so I had to tell my son, man, I'm sorry. You know, it's dad. That's your dad. My bad, you know. But you know what? It humbles me because you know what? People are watching you and I. They watch us. They watch us through our trials and our tribulations. They watch you and I when we go through those dark moments of our lives and we're still willing to cleave to Jesus and still willing to go fulfill the mission and purpose that God has for us. And so people today, my prayer is this as I close. Will you embrace the mission? Will you call on God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Jesus, you came to this earth to seek and save, which was lost. And you paid an awesome price to do it. What price am I willing to pay for my brothers and sisters that I work with, my family members that I live with, people that don't know the Lord? You know, shame on me that if I got the answer. Shame on me if I got the answer, but I don't give it to you. Ever been in a test and your friend got the answer? And you kind of winking, like, hey, can I get that answer? Man, you're looking at my paper. No. Give me the answer so that I can pass the test, so that I can make it in life, so that I can go and be what God has called me to be. And if the answer is Jesus, then I want Jesus. If that's the answer, that's what I want. And you know what? I got that answer. And I'm on the greatest ride of my life. Greatest ride of my life. Is it perfect? No. But I tell you what, I've been places that I have no business being. And I've gone places I have no business going. But it's all because I chose to go on mission, to embrace the mission. And so this morning, as I just pray, I know we're going to take communion at the end of this sermon, but I just want to pray for us right now. Could you just raise your hand where you are, and you're just as a sign of surrender. I don't want you to stand up. I don't want anybody looking around. I know that 2019 is around the corner. This year's gone by like a blur. And I know that some of you probably have gone through some difficult moments where you're trying to figure out the next steps of life. But if you could just go back to what I said in the beginning. And when you ask God, what is it that you'd have me to be and you'd have me to do? Just pause right there for a second. And I want you to be silent. Because I really believe that God will speak to you and encourage you and give you an assignment. But just as he gives that assignment, you have to be willing. It can be as simple as just, hey, I just want you to read your Bible and pray and spend some time with me, more time. It could be, hey, I need you to maybe step out in faith and maybe start meeting with some people, encouraging people, mentoring the next generation. Maybe it could be, I'm calling you out to go to a nation or a city to do something great with your job. But the question is this, is are you willing? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to ask the Lord, what is it that you would have me to do and be? How can I serve you in a greater way? You say, Pastor, I'm signing up today by faith for the mission that I believe that God has called me to. Some of you already know it, but you're a little timid to do it. But don't be afraid. Be full of faith because God is with you. Maybe it's just, man, I'm going to serve the Lord. Maybe I know God is calling me to serve Jesus, but I've been a little timid and afraid because of what people may say or think. Jesus is a gentleman. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to bless you and make you great. So, Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for every man and every woman in this room. If you're saying yes to the mission, I just wanted to raise your hand so I can pray over you right now. I'm saying yes to the mission that God has for me and for my house. I'm saying yes. Lord, you see these hands that are raised this morning. You see the hands that are raised. And Father, you see the days that are in front of them. God, I pray that you give them the grace and the courage to do it only what you can call them to do. Father, help them this morning to be that man or woman of God that you created them to be. And by faith, I thank you that they will fulfill their destiny, their birthright, and their calling in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.